Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy. Happy Monday, everyone. I hope everyone so far is having a great morning. It is 10 o'clock, and I hope that we have tackled one goal or two. And for many, some of us, such as myself, have been up since 5 a.m., so I have tackled probably about four goals at this point. So, guys, it's Motivational Monday, so it's new week, new goals, new intentions, and it's time to execute what it is that you've been talking about. So, and speaking of executing a plan and a goal, and whether you are an entrepreneur, whether you are still in corporate America, it really doesn't matter. What really matters is that you execute your goals. You write them down so you can actually have a vision. So we all know that everything, a lot of times when things are stuck in our mind or we come up with all these great ideas at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, that by the time the morning comes, you have forgotten what it is, those great thoughts. So be sure to write your goals down. Today, joining us on the show on Motivate My Life Radio, we're going to have Yvette Gavin. She is an elite business development strategist, a certified trainer, the founder of Yvette Gavin Consulting, LLC, and she has done a lot of things in the Atlanta area, and Yvette's going to talk to us about her journey to entrepreneurship, and I will take a few questions from you guys probably somewhere later in the show if you have any questions for Yvette, but we want to talk to her about how she got started in her journey, exactly what it is that she actually does, and what is it that you can take away from Yvette's interview this morning. So joining us on the show this morning is Mrs. Gavin. How are you doing, Yvette?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Teresa. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining Motivate My Life Radio this morning. We are excited to have you.
Thank you.
I'm excited to be here. You're welcome. Awesome. Well, I want to go ahead and just jump right in, Yvette, as I normally do. It's not formal. We're going to chat and kind of hopefully, you know, give our listaways and things of that nature and have our listeners know exactly who you are. So with that being said, if you want to just tell us a little bit about who you are and, like, where you're located, we can start off with that.
Okay, awesome. So I am a coach, a speaker, a trainer. And I'm located in Atlanta, Georgia, but I've done work throughout the United States and even abroad. A lot of my work has been with the United States Army Reserve that's here in Georgia. So I've done a lot of marriage coaching, training work with them. But I've also done workplace training for like the U.S. Consulate in Brazil. So my work is broad. My background, so my work consists of all three pillars of my background. So I am an ordained minister, so I served as an assistant pastor at a church where I did a lot of coaching and counseling there with couples. And then I'm also a former corporate executive in IT, and so I have a lot of experience with training managers and leaders on how to build strong and productive teams. And then there's this facet of me where I feel that I was born to motivate others and to inspire others to achieve their goals. And so my work is not just about one facet. It's whatever that person is working on, whether it's their marriage, whether it's their career, whether it's spiritual development. And that's what I meant by the three areas where I focus on. I feel that I am on this earth to help others achieve their goals.
Awesome. I mean, and it sounds like, and one of my questions for you definitely is, how have you been able to manage? It looks like that you are in three different areas, three strong areas of leadership. And how are you able to manage it on a day-to-day basis, the different areas that you are actually in?
So for me, I wish I could say it's been hard, but it hasn't, because my core, everything I do comes from my core. And the core is based upon my faith, and it starts from leadership. And then it moves from leadership to a heart to serve. And so I've been I'm Yvette Gavin Consulting is my total focus today. But a year ago, I was working in corporate America. I was also working on my business. I am also a wife who devote a lot of time, you know, to my marriage. And I am a mother, but my child is an adult male, so that's, you know, I'm not taking care of the daily, you know, tasks of being a mother.
Right.
But the point is, there are a lot of facets of me, and I what I do is I prioritize. At any given day, everybody doesn't get 100%, but I can almost assure you by the time 7 days have passed, everyone has gotten their due, their
okay.
needs have been. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I have some questions coming in through email right now, but actually I wanted to keep moving forward with some of the things that I actually want to learn about you as well. Because you said you was in corporate America last year, Yvette, and so how did you transition over into becoming a full-time business owner or entrepreneur?
Great, that's a great question. So I started out with a 4-year exit plan. So it wasn't my first time trying to move out of corporate and do what was most deep in my heart. So I had tried twice before and had to go back into corporate America. So I look at failure a lot different than perhaps most people. I didn't look at my first two attempts as total failure. I realized I didn't know enough. And so I had to go back and I had to really work on learning more of what was needed and better understand my target market, the people that I was trying to reach. And so I went back into work so I can, you know, continue to have revenue. But all that time, I was still working on my business while still growing in corporate America. And so it wasn't that I just went to a job and used them. No, I gave, and I served well. And I built, you know, I mean, I've never been in an environment where I wasn't promoted. And so that's a sign, right, that you're doing well and you're progressing in an environment when you're being promoted. And then when you tell them you're leaving, they make you a counter offer and they want you to stay. So that's been my situation. So I have no doubt that I've been contributing high in the marketplace. But at the same time, I found time and I created that time. Like you mentioned, you know, you've been up since 5 a.m. That's my day every day. You know, I get up early. I do make sure I do get my rest, though. But I set aside certain days in a week. I've taken vacations to focus on. Last year, I put out a book. I completed a college degree. I put out a book. I was working full-time, and I launched my business. Those are four major things I did in 1 year. But getting the book out was critical because it was part of my strategy of, you know, moving forward in my business. And so I was using the book as a calling card to start introducing myself in a market of giving career advice, which was something new for me. And so and it worked beautifully. But I spent weekends working on the book.
You know, Yvette, I wanted to ask you, because you said something that actually stuck out for me, that you went back to corporate America. You stepped out and then you went back to corporate America again and you restarted your plan. Your exit plan, your 4-year exit plan that you had. And I think it's really important that we point that out for a lot of the listeners that's on a call today, because some people, I think, you know, entrepreneurship to me, I think, and this being a business owner, I think a lot of folks now have, you know, social media right now is making it look a lot easier than what it really is. And I think it's important. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's important that folks know that. I mean, it once you get out there, if you have to go back and restart your plans, that's okay. And then, you know, because some folks are determined, like, you know what I mean, that you're not going back to corporate America because they feel like that they failed. But sometimes, you know, failures, to me, I always tell folks, become a part of your success. And, you know, to be able to turn, definitely, and to turn something into, you know, something more tangible, sometimes, of course, you have to fail first. So I think that is really a key point that I want to point out to the listeners, that, you know, you did go back to corporate America and you did redo your plan. You revised your plan and you went and did it again. And I think, again, that is really important. And far as you and corporate America, you know, how, when you transitioned out, you said you had a 4-year plan, Yvette. When you transitioned out, what was that day, that week, that month like when you said, okay, did you have it? You know, I'm leaving on March 22nd, 2015. Did you say I'm going to leave this year in December? Like, what was your exit strategy as far as that day approaching that you knew was going to be your last day in corporate America?
So for me, it was more about the year. I never said it was going to be January versus, you know, April, you know, or December. I just knew to work this plan, it was going to take me about 4 years to do it, because part of my plan was completing a degree that I had started in 1979. It was a long time ago. And so it was going to take me definitely 2 years. When I got, you know, first I had to, you know, apply and get accepted, get back in school, which that happened. And then the curriculum was going to take me 2 years to navigate through it. And so I knew that was going to be two. So then I had to start thinking beyond that. Once I complete that, how do I move forward? And so I just had a year. I told my husband, I said, I'm going back into corporate, but I'm out in four. I'm out in four. And I promise you, it was actually 4 years. It was just 2 weeks from being a complete business that I was in. So I got out 2 weeks before. But, yeah.
Well, what kept you motivated through all of that? Because, I mean, you know, to be able to try to go finish your degree and you're married and, you know, at some point, you know, I mean, you're still a mom and you were working your corporate job. What kept you motivated on a day-to-day basis, like when you woke up in the morning, to keep you moving forward to achieve your goals?
For me, it was knowing that I was settling with what I was doing. I had an opportunity on my corporate job to do a little bit of what I know I am born to do, and that is to encourage, motivate, and coach others. So as a leader, I had that opportunity. I could easily, you know, when you manage people, part of what you are expected to do is do some level of mentoring and coaching. So I did that, and that was the best part of my job. But I refuse. I've been that person all my life. I refuse to just settle. And so even if it's taking longer than I had, I would have wanted it to have taken, but now I look back on it, and I've almost completed a full year in running my business, you know, totally just focused on the business, I realized that it wasn't that long. It doesn't feel like that. And so one of the things that motivated me, I still have it on my desk today in my office. There's a little saying that I found in a card store, and it basically says, never give up your dream. Hold on to it. And I would look at that. You know, there were moments, I'm not going to lie to you, there were moments in corporate America where I had opportunities to let the dream really die do the corporate thing. Because when you're getting accolades for your work in corporate America, when your pay is constantly going up, and then you start living at a certain lifestyle, you know, it's sort of hard to say, ooh, to let all of that go. Because of this dream that I've had, you know, for over 20 years to really let this go, but I stayed focused. And I would be at my desk working, and I would look down at that. You know, and I actually put the card in a frame. And, you know, the paper, I was looking at it the other day, the backside of it, it's all start turning yellow because I've had it for years. But that was one thing that I would look at, and it would bring me back, you know, because there are great moments in corporate, right? We all have them in our careers. But they were just for a moment. It wasn't my end.
Right. Okay. And so, I mean, I definitely want to commend you for all that you, not just you're doing, you know, but all that you've already done. I think it's great, again, for, you know, the aspiring entrepreneurs particularly to understand what it takes to get to reach a level of success when you become a business owner or an entrepreneur, and what the differences are and the challenges that you will face. Because, again, you know, that's why I always ask what kept you motivated. Because if you don't have motivation to get up every morning and press forward in what you're doing, because, you know, you have your good days and you have your bad days. And so those bad days are the days, those are days that you have to stay motivated to keep pushing in what it is that you're doing. Now, what's coming down, like, the pipeline for Yvette Gavin? And I want to ask you, before you answer that, too, what exactly, now, Yvette Gavin Consulting, what exactly does that do? Now, is that more of your coaching, your ordained ministering? Like, what exactly does Yvette Gavin Consulting do? We want to just kind of clear that for listeners right now.
Okay, so I do business coaching, and I also do training in corporate. And it doesn't have to be corporate, because even my small business owners, I go in and I do leadership training for them. I also will do oftentimes when I'm working on with a lot of my business clients is helping them understand how to navigate from a weak point in the organization. Like when I'm working with now, there's some problems in the operation piece. you know, revenue is coming in, but they're not realizing it, right, because money is going out. And so I've been helping them identify where they're losing and how they can put a cap on some, you know, some of these streams of where money has been going out. And so that's what more is on the operation end. So I do that. That's the consulting piece. But then the other pieces that I'm also coaching, I have one-on-one coaching clients where I am either coaching them from a marriage perspective or I am coaching them on a career perspective. So those are the two clients that I currently have. Again, I have had clients where it was more about spiritual development. And so, but I don't currently have anyone that I'm with there. And then I'm speaking, and I speak on both platforms. Like coming up, I have a speaking engagement this month at a local church in Columbus, Georgia. And then in September, I'm speaking at the Georgia State University. They're doing an entrepreneur forum there, and I'm going to be a speaker there as well as a judge. So I'm excited about that piece. So the students will be pitching their business ideas, and I will be on a panel of judges judging them as well. And then I have some other speaking engagement in September as well, but they're more in the church arena.
Okay, and I do have a couple of questions. Well, actually, several, but we're only going to answer a few. We only have time to answer a few of them. So someone actually is asking, as far as the marriage coaching that you do, how would they be able to connect with you? And I want to just answer that really quickly for the listener. We will, concluding Yvette leaving the show, we will actually update you with her social media sites as well as how to reach her as far as if you're interested in getting any type of marital or spiritual coaching events. We're going to get to that at the end, how folks can get in contact with you. So the next question is, how did you get into doing corporate training? Were you in human resources? What was your position in corporate America?
Oh, awesome. So I was an IT director. I manage a team of quality assurance testers. I've also, and that was at my last role, but I've also led an organization of quality assurance testers as well as business analysts and project managers. So that's my background. Part of what I was, I was never in HR, but I've done work with a lot of HR resources from this perspective. I have, like at my last corporate position, I partnered with HR and became even though I was in IT, I helped put on various programs. One program was the Women ERG at my last company. So that was part of a brainchild of multiple people, but I was definitely one who was pitching an idea and didn't even know that there were others in the company who was asking for it. And so I was on the board that actually pulled this whole thing together, but that's typically something that comes out of your HR department. And so there I was working with a group of people from HR. The training, I'll say, is how I show more value, I think, than my peers in corporate America is that I always did training for my organization. So oftentimes you don't have the money that you need to do everything you want to do with a team. So I created training curriculum for my team. I have my degree is in communication, and part of what I did there was learn how to put together training curriculums. And so I did that, and then I implemented them in my organization. In organizations where I work, I should say.
So that's kind of where your background came from in that. And I think it's Melissa in Ohio. I hope that answered your question. We'll answer another question. Did you have a hard time obtaining business funding? I am trying to start a consulting business right now, and I'm not able to obtain business funding through a traditional bank. Or did you use your money from your corporate America job to start your business?
I used my money from my corporate America job, and I looked at that as investing back into myself. And so, you know, I mentioned earlier that I always progressed on my job. So my money increased every year. So what my husband and I made a decision to do was that versus living off the increase, where I went into the four-year plan, because one of the reasons I went back before is it was finance. And so I had to be smarter, and I had to figure out a way how I was going to grow my business and not have to be concerned about revenue. And so, and you know, that may sound crazy, but that's, I pulled together a plan. I worked that plan. I set monies aside. I also have had people who really believe in the vision invest into my business without me even asking.
Wow.
You know, there are certain family and friends I never went out and asked for one penny who have sold into my business because they believe in it.
And that speaks value, Yvette, really, you know, for folks to volunteer because, you know, we know it. And this day and time, it's kind of hard to, you know, get people to invest in your vision unless they believe in your vision. And I think some, and I really think sometimes a lot of the issues are, I don't think the individual believes enough in their own business to convince somebody else to believe in it. And I think that's really important because, you know, with entrepreneurship, you know, you get a lot of fear. You know, folks' fear of failure and things of that nature. Moving forward, I'm gonna ask one more question from a listener, Joelle in North Carolina. How did you become a certified life coach? Did you have to go to school for that? And if so, do you recommend any schools that you think would be good to get certified as a life coach?
Yes, I do recommend that you do get certification, and I have two. My first certification came from the International Christian Association. You can, you know, look them up online. And then the second one, I am certified through John Maxwell. To be a speaker coach. So I have both certifications.
And
I'm
John Maxwell
is both.
Really huge. Yeah, John Maxwell
and
is huge. I mean, that is definitely something good to put on your resume and, you know, your portfolio. Yes. John Maxwell, he's like one of the number one coaches in America. I think John Maxwell and there's a few other ones too that I think Les Brown and but I think John Maxwell, I think he's like at the top of the list, if I'm not mistaken.
He is. You're absolutely correct. And he's also has the notoriety of being the number one leadership teacher, trainer, speaker. He sold more books on leadership than anyone else in the United States.
And so that's what I wanted to ask you too, Matt. So, you know, do you read a lot of books? Are there any books out there that you would recommend to folks that are trying to move forward with entrepreneurship, just trying to learn as much as they can on becoming a leader? Like, would you recommend any books? Like, do you have any favorites that you've read in the past that you feel like have been a part of your success?
I do. So the reason I'm certified through John Maxwell is because I patterned my leadership skills and model from John because I was reading his books. Anything I could get my hands on that John Maxwell had written, I would read it. And then I would look up where he was speaking publicly, and I would go to those events. But the number one, his book that motivated me the most, 15 Laws of Growth. And in it, he talks a lot about fear, what holds people back, the importance of being disciplined, changing, making sure that you're doing something different every day. If you're trying to move forward, you can't keep doing what you did yesterday. So you have to start developing a pattern of being disciplined. And that's when I learned to start getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning. You know, Another book I want to share with people. It's an old book, but it's called Think Big. I can't think of an author name right now. I have it actually on my desk downstairs. But it's called Think Big. And I remember when someone gave me this book, and I was thinking, I don't need this. But I read the book anyway because I am an avid reader. To this day, I am doing some of the things that I picked up in that book. And you just never know what's going to really leave an impression on you. And, you know, through thinking big, I started thinking big and versus just thinking I just need to survive. And then it started in corp, right? I needed to make more money in corporate America, not just so I could have a bigger house, bigger car, and all that stuff, right? My vision, I needed more money from my corporate job so I could feed into the vision. So it would give me that need it. And that book helped me to start thinking that way versus thinking, you know, I got to sit here and just work and just, you know, accept whatever they offer me. So I learned through thinking big how to see myself and the services and the skills that I brought to the table in a larger scale. And then I start moving from that.
Okay, makes sense. And you know, I definitely recommend everybody, you know, I think you should read, whether you, you know, pick some books that can teach you. Because I'm not, I'm more of a nonfiction reader. I don't read a lot of fiction. Uh-huh. I read books that I can learn something from, because that's what's important to me.
That's the same way.
Yeah, because I like to learn, you know, when I'm reading, I need to read with purpose. That's what you call it. Now that we know.
And the last book. I want to actually just share, because my book is entitled Recalibrate, Navigating the Job Market with Confidence. But in that book, I'm actually talking about the things that I learned and how God just, you know, organically just birthed things in my spirit and I started moving through. It's not by accident that, you know, I became an IT director before I completed my college degree. It's not by accident. And I tell these stories of what was happening in my life and what I was doing and how I was thinking and what I did different. I share those stories. So there's practical information that a person could go and say, oh, I can go and make these changes in my own resume. I can make these changes on how I approach an interview. But I'm also giving in the book that my truth of how it happened in my life. You know, I tell the story about how afraid I was the first time I asked for a raise. But typically women do not ask for more money. And, you know, and I tell the whole story about, you know, I have my baby there with me. I mean, this is after work. I pass the building after picking up my baby from the daycare, and I see my boss's car still in the parking lot. And honestly, I pick up my baby in the trunking seat. And, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm telling someone else to do this, but when a woman or a man is driven and they refuse to take their eyes off the goal, you will go outside your comfort zone. And I went in there with my baby in tow and asked my boss for a raise and told her why I felt I had earned it. That was my first time doing it. And then in the book, I walk people through, not necessarily go do what I did, but understand the motivation but that caused me to do it.
Now, that's really, you know, and in the lines of blowing up, I wish we had time to get some more questions answered, but we don't today. But, you know, that speaks volume in itself, because you're exactly right. A lot of times we'll stay content where we are, and then, you know, we'll become complainers. You know, you'll find yourself complaining every day about the position that you're in, and you waste more energy complaining about the position you're in opposed to actually trying to move yourself out of the position that you're in. And a lot of folks are guilty of that as far as what the next steps are. Now, what would you recommend, Yvette, right now, if someone says, hey, I'm stuck and I want to start my business, I don't know where to start, whatever type of business it may be, are there any tips? Do you have like one or two tips that you would give someone, an aspiring entrepreneur right now that's ready to kind of, that's in corporate America and they're ready to leave corporate America and actually go pursue their dreams?
Yes, and I'm not just saying this because this is what I do, but the first thing I'm going to say is that person needs to understand investing in themselves. And you can do that in multiple ways. I highly recommend a coach, someone who's not going to just, because there are things a coach will do for you that your friend or your spouse can't do, and it gives you that space to be totally transparent, but a coach will also help you get clarity and help you to develop a plan to move forward. And so what I get a lot from my clients is that they want to be wealthy. They want to make a lot of money. And I was like, okay, well, what's your plan? Well, I don't know. I just want to make a lot of money. Well, you need more than that. Or they, like, I'm really tired of this job. I can't do this anymore, blah, 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 blah. I hear this often. I'm crying as I'm, you know, from women. I'm crying as I'm driving in. And so then when I ask, well, what's deep in your heart that you want to go do? Then they don't know yet. And so a coach will help bring all of that out. And help them clarify and create a path that is unique and right for them. The second thing is that if a person feels as if they can't invest in a coach right now, and then I would say get books. You know, start with some of John's books, Laws of Personal Growth. I guarantee you if they go through all 15, the person is going to change in some way. If they really, because behind each chapter in the back of it, there are exercises that John walks you through to help the development process start. So that's definitely a book I recommend. And then in my book, Recalibrate, I do the same thing. Pick it up, you know, from what I've learned from John. I give them lessons and activities to go and do.
And, you know, Yvette, you know, truthfully, I want to touch on something. When people say that they can't afford, because, you know, I hear it all the time when people say, well, I can't afford a coach. I can't afford. And so sometimes, you know, and you tell me if you agree with this, I think sometimes we have to learn part of a lot of times when we assume we can't afford something. To me, if you're not ready to invest in yourself, then you're not ready for entrepreneurship. You're not ready to change your life.
Yeah.
Every time you spend something, you know, because I've been a business owner for 10 years now, and every time you spend, you know, I had to sacrifice the shoes, the bags, the vacation, the clothes. I mean, every time you spending money on those things that don't generate revenue, you can actually be investing in yourself. You know, whether you set aside a savings account, you know, and say, hey, I'm going to put up X, Y, Z amount of dollars because I really need a coach. I mean, these are just different things that I feel like people can do to be able to afford it. And guys, stop saying you can't afford it, because the more you tell yourself you can't afford it, you start to believe it. So,
100.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, you know, folks, what they say, they say what happens is you start to speak it into existence that you can't afford to have a coach, but you also can't afford to stay stuck where you are. So, you know, at that point, you know, a decision has to be made. And real aspiring entrepreneurs and people that are go-getters and that are hungry, they understand that, you know, because I've known people personally that have put money aside to be able to afford a coach, you know. I wanted to talk about one other thing with you. So now that we know who Yvette Gavin is, as far as the corporate business owner, the coach, and so forth, who is Yvette Gavin, like far as on her personal side, you know, some of the things that you like to do for fun when you're not working?
Oh, awesome. I love that question. So I'm a big traveler. My husband and I travel a lot. We are also big foodies, and so we also love trying out new restaurants wherever we go. So, and I'm a love of family. You know, I spend a lot of time with my family. I invest a lot back into them. So that's what you'll find me doing on most weekends, spending time with my family, whether it's my church family, my personal family, my husband, my son, and my daughter-in-law. And then I meditate a lot because, you know, I have to have my quiet time. I was telling a client on Friday, there's so much noise in the world that we have to learn how to be still, because there's so much content now, especially with, you know, the internet, and you know, it's just so much content, and sometimes it becomes so confusing because everyone is giving us advice. Go do this. You should be doing that. And so I have a ritual where I am still every morning. And then there's once a month I steal away to my favorite spa. And I'm just there all day by myself. And, I get the massage. And so people are like, you know, taking care of me and my physical body while I am also taking care of my mental, my state and being. Because I'm reading, I'm meditating, I don't get on the phone, I don't touch anything on social media that day. I just totally unplug.
So that's, and you know what? Sometimes you have to unplug, Yvette, because, you know, I think it's a big distraction out here now, because, you know, back in 2007 when, you know, I started my business, social media wasn't really big like it is today. So you now really have to say, hey, this week I'm going to just unplug from social media. You know, I tell folks all the time there are other ways to get your content out there. If you're trying to update your business, social media, there's other ways to get your content out there outside of sitting on it every day, because by human nature, sometimes you go on there for one thing, you find yourself sitting on there for 25, 30 minutes. So you got to really be careful. You start clicking on things and all that, and I know I'm guilty of it. So I try to, you know, go through Hootsuite and all these other platforms to get my things posted automatically, you know, or get someone to manage your, you know, I've had interns that will manage my social media as well, so I didn't even have to actually be bothered with it at all. But it is a huge distraction. And I can tell, you know, listeners right now that if you are spending, you know, a lot of time on social media, 60-70% of your time on social media, and then you're in your corporate job, you have a long way to go to get to entrepreneurship, because that distraction alone right there can hinder your progress. So it's really the key. Yeah, it is. It's really important to make sure that you limit your time on social media. And something else you said that I wanted to touch on as far as the meditating, I think that's really important. I meditate in the morning when I first wake up before I get my day started. I have to claim a great day and things of that nature. But you do have to go and be still. You have to. So you can hear and you can understand what your purpose is. I totally agree with you on that as well. Yvette, before we wrap up, I do want to let folks know how to reach you. So if you want to tell us your social media platforms, that would be great. And also, if you can let us know, how do people reach out to you directly if they want to get use your coaching services?
Awesome. That's your number one.
So you can find me online. My website is YvetteGavin.com. So definitely go there. And then on the website, like all the information there to contact me is there. But if you want to call the office directly, then you can reach us at area code 404-965-3977. Again, that's 404-965-3977. I'm also doing a Facebook Live every Monday at noon. We call it Lunch and Learn with Yvette. So I'm just asking people, you know, to join me for lunch for 30 minutes, and I take your questions, I answer them. I always come on with a topic. So today I'm going to be talking about how to overcome your fears that are limiting you on your job. So please join there. And then I'm allowing people to change the content. So I tell people, send me an email, and that's at Yvette@YvetteGavin.com, or go to my contact page on the website and let me know what's on your mind and what information you need, and then they can do that.
Awesome.
And if I may, Teresa, I just want to share one tip. This is on my mind
for
listeners. For that person who is thinking they cannot afford a coach, and, of course, my mindset is that you really can afford it. I'm challenging that person to be creative, because what I know for sure is that we figure out ways to get what we want when we want to buy something tangible.
Yes.
And I'll tell you how I started. I initially thought like that too, you know, years ago. But I went to my boss at that time, and I asked my boss for training. And I gave a case on why this particular career coach was going to help me in the job market at that place. And they paid for it, and they paid for like 4 sessions. So I wanted more. We were at a great place.
Mm.
Company didn't pay for any more of them. So then I said to the coach, I really want to continue working with you, but this is as much as I can budget right now. And she was willing to work with me at that. So I came out of my pocket $400 every month to pay a coach for a session. And so I
know
that there's a way. He created.
It is. That's what I was going to say. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there are a lot of coaches now that actually, you know, as far as what I see, they do take payment plans and things. If you're really serious about it, you will go and approach somebody. And because if you don't ask, the answer is always no. So,
yeah,
very good. I mean, clearly it is. If you don't ask, the answer is no. But if you go and ask some coaches out here, they'll actually work with you. And also be careful, too, who you're allowing to coach you. We do have and this is, of course, there are a lot of strong ones out there. But just be careful, guys, who you're allowing to coach you. And be sure, you know, make sure whoever's coaching you has already reached a level of success that you're trying to achieve. Because what you don't want to have is someone coaching you that's still coaching themselves and they haven't reached their platform of success, you know, and then they're trying to help you along the way. You want to make sure you do your research on your coach, because right now our market is saturated. As you know, Yvette, with coaches. there's your professional executive coaches as yourselves. And then, you know, you have a lot of coaches that woke up this morning and they decided because they went through something in life that they can teach somebody else how they can survive something. So there is a difference, guys. And make sure that you do your research. It's okay to ask your coach questions, to, you know, ask them for success stories. It's okay to do all of that if you're going to be paying and investing in someone to help you reach a level of success. I just want to put that out there because I've had some folks on the show in the past that told me that they wouldn't waste any more money on a coach because that they didn't get anything from the coach. Yeah, but you have to do your homework. You have to do your homework. You know, Yvette, you and I both know that we live in a world, like I just said, the market's saturated right now with coaching.
It really is, honestly.
And guys, just because someone has a website doesn't make them a successful coach. Again, do your research. You should be able to find some type of information out about the individual coach that you're trying to hire, because that's still going to be key to your success.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask for a referral. You know, if a coach has to, I agree with everything that you said, that coach should have a level of success in the area that you also want to be successful mm-hmm. in. I strongly believe in that. And then secondly, I want to know I want a record. You know, can I talk to someone? Can you at least give me one or two referrals?
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. Someone
not your written ones, Yvette. We want to hear some folks. Like, we don't, because we know written testimonials and things of that nature, I mean, they're easy to get. We're talking about some real folks that you've actually helped along the way. When you're asking for referrals, who did this coach work with that has helped someone? Who else have they helped achieve the level of success? So I totally agree with you on that 100%. Just be careful when you're investing your money. Well, Yvette, it has been a pleasure speaking with you today, and I hope that you can come back and join us on the show at some point, at some time before the year is over, because we have so many questions that we cannot answer during the show time frame, but just because we're limited for time. But I will reach out to your PR team and see if we can have you come back on the show at some point in the next several months or so, and maybe we can actually make that more of a kind of a teaching show where you may can answer a lot more questions. I'll just basically put the questions out there, and then you can answer them maybe and help some folks along the way. I'll reach out to your PR team and see if we can get that set up. But I want to thank you today for joining Motivate My Life Radio. It has definitely been a pleasure.
And, thank you.
And you have a great rest of the week. Did you have anything else before we wrap up, Yvette, that you want to talk about really quickly, or any more comments or anything?
I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been a pleasure being here. Definitely I would love to come back. And the last word I'll just like to leave with everyone is never give up on your dreams.
Mm.
Pursue them.
All right, guys. There you have it. Yvette Gavin, never give up on your dreams. If you want to talk with Yvette, you can go to YvetteGavin.com or you can call her office directly at 404-965-3977. And again, Yvette, I want to thank you for joining Motivate My Life Radio, and I have a great week on purpose.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.